I put the baked ziti in the trunk of my car, then went around to the driver's side, yelping in fright as I slid into the seat and saw someone sitting beside me. It was the Reaper, and he seemed just as unnerved as I was. "What the hell?" I sputtered. "Is this it? Are my sisters going to find me dead in my car in front of Cassie's house? Because I think I just had a fatal heart attack here."
"Sorry, I wasn't sure where to go. I'm not sure what to do, what's going on. All I know is that I have to be near you."
He stared at me a moment, then looked down at his hands. That's when I realized that for the first time since I'd begun seeing him, he looked like a normal guy. I mean, he was just as hot, but he didn't have that ghostly, reaperish pallor. I sighed. "Of course you have to be near me. Just give me a heads up when it's my time, okay? And don't sneak around like this." He glanced over at me, and his expression was so confused, so forlorn that I felt sorry for him. A Reaper. There was a Reaper sitting in my passenger seat following me around and waiting for my imminent death, and I had an urge to hug him and make him a cup of hot cocoa. What had happened to cool, calm, collected, and confident? Was this the first time he'd done this sort of bargaining deal? A life for a life? Perhaps he had gotten a bit attached to me over the last few years and was bummed our little thing was coming to an end. Maybe he was regretting he hadn't taken me up on my dinner offer before I signed my life away. Could I date a Reaper if I were dead? Was there a diner or hibachi grill in the afterlife we could go to? The thought of never seeing him again made me just as depressed as the thought of my death. "What was your name again?" I asked. "I've been calling you Nash because I couldn't remember."
"Nirnasha. But I would like for you to call me Nash."
I started the car. "Okay, Nash the Reaper. If I'm not about to die in the next hour or so, here's my agenda. I'm going to the hospital to see my sister. Then I'm going to swing by the fire station and drop off this baked ziti. Then, if I'm still alive, I'm going home to catch some Z's, because today has just drained all the life out of me. Pun intended." He didn't reply. In fact, he remained silent the entire drive to the hospital. It made me a bit nervous to be driving around with a Reaper in my passenger seat, and I couldn't think of anything to say to him, so I turned on some music. I'm kind of old school at heart, so I found a classic rock station, which unfortunately was playing Stairway to Heaven. Grimacing, I turned the radio off and just resigned myself to drive in silence. Once at the hospital, Nash followed me inside. He waited patiently while I found out what room they'd admitted Sylvie to, then trailed after me down the halls and into the elevator. "Stay here," I told him once we were outside Sylvie's room. "I don't know if Sylvie saw you while she was dead, and I don't want to freak her out. Either way, I don't want to answer a bunch of questions from Cassie about who you are and why I brought you with me to the hospital." He hesitated, and for a second, I thought he was going to argue. But then he meandered across the hall to a little sitting area, plopped into a chair, and picked up a magazine. I went inside, a little worried about the wisdom of leaving a Reaper unattended in the hospital. He said he didn't have power over life and death, but Sylvie had basically been resurrected, so I didn't have much faith in the truth of that theory. What if I came out of Sylvie's room to find that he'd reaped the souls of everyone in the hospital? A mass casualty event, and it would be all my fault, because I had a Reaper following me around. Maybe I should have just insisted that I die in Cassie's driveway.